about the redemption story? It really is good. You know, I've read it before, you know, the Bible, and she said, oh, put that mic down, Steve, when you get a chance.
Okay.
You can't see my pretty face. But anyway, the more I read it, and, you know, it's, we're doing more than just reading. We're, you know, looking for stuff to jump out at us. And, you know, I don't know if that's what it's called, but I consider it critical reading when you're looking for what's being said in the words of the book and that Bible. And the more I do that, the more I see things that just kind of pop out at me. More things that pop out at me. And so when I read, you know, I'll do that soap thing. But I've got another little book, and as things pop in my head, I'll go to this other book, write a couple of quick notes for potential sermons. And it's really cool. Well, this just happened to be one of them that jumped out at me. So the more I got into it, the more I thought, this is what I want to talk about today. And it's about Lot. And considering my audience today, I doubt very seriously if any of you in here have never heard of Lot. It's funny, I'll tell on myself. How about this? Confession is good for the soul, right? I was reading. I started a personal reading plan. It's kind of cool, because if you read 5 chapters in the New Testament, it'll take you just a little over 2 months to read the entire New Testament. And if you read 8 chapters in the book or in the Old Testament each day, then I think it takes about 4 or 5 months. So you can read the Old Testament just a little over 2 times in a year, and the New Testament, you know, 4, maybe 5 times. Depends on how quick you want to do it. I was telling Cindy yesterday, you know, I get Ruth and Esther mixed up. But I just finished reading Esther. That's a book, right? And if you'd have asked me last week, what's Esther's story? I said, she got a book in the Bible.
She's in the Bible.
She's there, right? You know? And I know the missionettes, they talk about Esther, right? I got a friend named Esther. But I didn't know anything about Esther. I guess I'm being confessing. And then when I read this thing, I thought, oh, okay, now I see how she fits in the story of Israel. And as I'm reading the story of the children of Israel, how they're going through and they get taken captive, and now you start getting, I've finished Chronicles, right? And it kind of gives the big story. And now I'm starting to go back and I'm having to think, okay, are they in captivity or are they not in captivity? Oh, they've already had captivity, but I'm reading a book about them being in a captivity. So, but it's kind of interesting to me because I'm learning every day, right? You'd think maybe I wouldn't, but I do learn every day. I digress. Lot. What can we learn from Lot? Well, the first time we see Lot in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 12, and that's when Abraham is called, right? God says, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your country, and go. Where? Just go. So he's like, okay, I'll go. Well, this little nephew of his wants to tag along too. So Lot tags along with Abraham. So he is with Abraham. He learns from Abraham. He sees what Abraham's done. He sees how God has blessed Abraham. And in the course of time, he himself is blessed. To the point to where the two of them have too much stuff to live together, right? So Abraham left. The next time we see him, he's accumulated great wealth. Abraham says, look, you've got to go. So Uncle Abe says in verse 10, it says, Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of the Jordan towards the Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So he's looking at a pretty good place, right? So then in verse 11 it says, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out towards the east. So this was the first point I want to make about Lot. Lot made his decision solely, as we read it in the Bible, on what he saw. He didn't take into consideration what's down there. He just looked. I'm just imagining in my mind's eye, he's on top of a hill or a higher place, and he's looking You got this beautiful land before you. It's well watered. It's kept up. It says like the garden, right? Garden of the Lord. So it had to be beautiful. And I'm sure he could probably see Zoar and the other places around there, right? Sodom. I believe it's all there. And it's like, oh, that's a really pretty place. And if I got to go somewhere, that's where I want to go. So he chose for himself that place. Lot only saw what was good and pleasing to his eye. So before we throw stones at Lot for just going by what he visually sees, how many times have we done that in our lives? We see something and think, oh man, I've got to have that. I think the Lord wants me to have that. You know, that's a blessing from the Lord. You know? I remember one time that Sydney and I, I think Kyle was here. I'm sure Kyle was here because why else would we want a minivan? We were young in our marriage. Kyle's here. And we saw this minivan that we really wanted, right? And it's like, that's the one. It's perfect for us. We need it. We have to have this for our trips going home. Once a year, we have to have it for that trip, you know? We really need this minivan. So we put all ourselves into this, getting this minivan. And we haggled, fussed, and fought. Finally, someone wiser than the two of us said, no, you're too much of a risk, and we can't give you that van. And you talk about somebody else being mad. I was mad. And I swore I'd never, ever buy another vehicle from Texas Ford. I said, never again will I go get me a Ford car because of what they did to me. They were mean to me. But hindsight 2020, and now that I'm a little bit older and more mature, it's like they did me a favor that day. They did both of us a favor that day. But the point there was neither one of us asked the Lord, Lord, what is it you want for us? You know, is this the car? If it's not, let there be something in the way. And then we would have probably taken the rejection a whole lot easier because we put it out there before the Lord, right? Let's think for a minute how things would have been different for Lot if he would have said, you know, Uncle Abe, I really don't want to leave you. I've seen how God has blessed you. And you know what? I don't want to leave you. You can have all I have. Just let me hang out with you and be blessed with you. Or if he'd have said, you know what? I've seen how God has blessed you. Let me call upon, and I get this a lot in the old words, they talk about your God, their God. If he'd have said, you know, why don't you pray for me that God would show me and help me do the right thing? How this story would have turned out so much different than it did. But we don't see that. And the example to us is that Lot went by his sight and his feelings, not by what God had for him or what good God could have had for him, right? He never sought God in that. So let me ask you this question. Who else saw something that was pleasing to their eye and went after it? Somebody before Lot. How about that? Who? Well, Eve, right? Because it says that she saw it. It looked good to her. Hey, who doesn't want something good to eat? And who doesn't want to know good things, knowledge, right? Who doesn't want that? So she ate it. She went on what she saw. And she ate that thing. And we all know the end result of that. Adam was right there with her. You know, the man could have said, hold on a minute. That's not what we're supposed to do. But no, he didn't do that. We can't blame just her. So we have to throw a little blame on him. I hear all the women saying that's right, but the men are like, don't go there, Brian. So now we see Lot. He leaves Abram, right? And in verse 12, in the last part of that verse right there, excellent, it says that Lot lived among the cities in the plain and pitched his tent where? Near Sodom. Okay, so when we see Lot now, he has left his uncle and he's moved just a little bit closer to Sodom. Lot had taken that first step to move closer to something he shouldn't be in. And sin's like that. The devil's not going to show you, hey, the big bad story. You know, he's going to show you, oh, this is really pretty. This is pleasing to you. We take that first step, and it's like, okay, now we're moving just a little bit closer to where we shouldn't be. We've kind of come out from under that umbrella of protection of the Lord. It doesn't say that the Lord leaves us, but now we've kind of moved away from him a little bit, and now we've put ourselves in a bad spot. So we just goes a little bit closer. Then we move on to verse 19, or chapter 19, and we see where Lot's at now. Verse 19 and 1, it says, the two angels arrive in Sodom in the evening, and where was Lot? Sitting in the gateway of the city. Now Lot has moved from just being a little bit close to being knee-deep in it, right? He's there. And you know the story that the angels went on into the town with him, into his house, with his two daughters and his wife, right? So now Lot has moved into that place. And that's how the sentence progresses. We get the idea, ooh, that looks good. We have that choice to say, better not, or ooh, that looks good. We take that first step, and now we're just a little bit closer to it. And before long, either after that first step or that hundredth step, now we are in the place that we shouldn't be. Point three, it says Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. Now Lot's in the city. Instead of living near, he was living in. And it's important to realize that when he says he's sitting in the gateway, right? He's sitting there. Well, in those times, that was the place to go hang out. That's where a lot of business was transacted. Courts were being held there. It's just where the men went to go be with other men to learn what's going on in the city. So we don't see any hesitation by the other people there. It just says he's part of the group now. So he's in with them. But what I think is interesting is that when he saw them, he knew who they were. So there was something in Lot that knew who these people were and where he was at and what was going on in that city. So let's look real quick as another overview of the results of not being near but in Sodom. So being in the sin. First, he loses his wife. You know the story, his wife turns into salt. So he loses his salt, or he loses his salt. He loses his wife because of that decision to live in that city. Second, his daughters did something that just is unspeakable because of what they saw and what they did in the city of Sodom. And you know what's interesting? When I read that, I thought about it. It says they got their father drunk. Why would they get him drunk? Now, they're in the mountains now. They've already gone. So why would they get him drunk to do this if that's just the way that's just the way things were in Sodom? They knew it was wrong, and they knew that was not what they should do. But their desire to have children and a family was more important than what is right. So they had to get Lot drunk. So the results of him living in that city have now degraded and not just got his wife, it got his children, but it also had its effect on Lot as well. Verse 15, it says, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. Key words in verse 16 are, when he hesitated. What made Lot hesitate? The angels have already told him destruction's coming. And anybody that's close to you, you need to get out. Lot had been willing to give up his two daughters to satisfy this angry mob to keep the two angels safe. So he was willing to give his daughters away for that. And then when he knows it's fixing to come, he hesitates. Why do you think he hesitated? He's in the sin. Something about Sodom, something in that lifestyle had a hold on him, and he couldn't get rid of it. he didn't want to get rid of it. I think about people with addictions. You know, it's hard sometimes to break those addictions because now that's in you. I believe there was something in that city that had his heart, just like an addiction has your heart, has yourself. And that's just what sin will do. It'll please the people. It'll please your person. And when it comes time to get free of that, it's always in the back of your mind. It's just there. But something had Lot, had a hold on Lot. Something had a hold of his heart. Have you ever been in a place where the Holy Spirit has asked you to do something or prompted you to do something or to say something and you just didn't do it? I mean, I'm going to say that I have, because I think there's been times when I'm out. I like to talk when I'm at places and Walmarts and stuff and people. And it's like talking to them about the Lord. You need to talk to these people about something. You know, the Lord prompts you. Oh, not now. We're in Walmart. Or it just ain't the right time. This ain't the right place. This isn't the right atmosphere. So I start negotiating with God in my heart. I start telling God why it's not the right place and the right time. And all along, I should have just did what he said to do in the first place. Have you ever been there's been times when the Holy Spirit's asked us to move or do something, and we just don't do it? We hesitate. There's something that causes the hesitation in us. And that's what we need to get rid of. Anything that would hesitate us or hinder us from moving in what God has for us, what God's wanting us to do, we should do it. Verse 17. As soon as he had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back," right? His wife should have heeded that warning. "Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But then Lot, he's got something else in plan. Lot said to them, "No, my Lord, please. There's a town near enough to run to, and it's small. Let me flee to it. A very small town it is, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." So he's like, "I don't want to go to the mountains. You need to go to the mountains." "I don't want to go to the mountains. Let me go to this little small town. Because if I go to the mountains, I'll die. Let me go to this small town." Where does he end up? In the mountains. So now we see Lot negotiating for a better plan. He had a better plan than what the angels had for him. How many of us have ever had better plans than what the Lord has? You know, "Lord, I've got this plan to do this. I plan on doing that. Bless it." You know, it's kind of a, it may or may not be what God wants for us, but if it's not, he's not going to bless us. You know? And it seems like we seem to have a better idea of what we should do, what we should say, and where we should go than he would have for us. All right. And then the last time we see Lot, we see a man that is broken. He's ruined by the choices that he's made. Lot had been taken captive, and his uncle had to come save him. He was willing to offer his daughters to the mob to save the two fellows in the house. He had to be forcefully moved from the town. He lost his wife. Some may argue that's not a bad thing. How about that, ladies? I'm sorry. And finally, he had incestuous relationships with his daughter. And when you read the accounts of other people in the Bible, it talks about where they were buried and how old they were when they died. You never hear that about Lot. You never know how old he was. You never hear about his death or that he was even buried with his ancestors, those that had gone before him. So in conclusion, so what have we learned from the story of Lot? We've learned that to seek, we should seek God's counsel in every part of our lives. I remember my dad used to, he I don't know why, you know how sometimes somebody can say something and you just remember it. But he had told the story of a businessman that made a deal with God that, you know, before I do anything, I'm going to ask you for it. I'm going to ask your counsel. I'm going to seek you. So he did it. He was real good about it. He said that one day he was, I think it was a milkshake. It was something really insignificant. And he's drinking this milkshake, and he felt the Lord asking, did you ask me if you could have that milkshake? As insignificant as that was, it was one of those, you said you was going to ask me for everything. Why didn't you? And I think the point there is that God cares so much about the little bitty things in our lives that he's willing to tell us, you know, should I get strawberry or should I get chocolate? You know, or maybe I need to skip this and get me a Diet Coke instead. But we should seek God's counsel in every part of our life. We also learned that we don't want to be guided by our eyes only. Because what's pleasing to our eyes isn't always pleasing to the Lord. It's always pleasing to ourselves. It's James that talks about we're drawn away by our own lust. We're tempted. It's because of what we see, what we want. So sometimes our eyes can deceive us. And the enemy, I can promise you, the enemy is not going to dangle something ugly and nasty out in front of you. He's going to always put the prettiest part first. Third, we can learn that we don't allow ourselves to get close to sin. If you don't take that first step and get a little bit close, then you're not going to be living in sin later on. Any addiction, it takes that first step. You know, they say that marijuana is the gateway to other drugs, you know. If you don't take that smoke, that first smoke, then you don't have to worry for the most part of everything else. If the alcoholic didn't take that first drink, he wouldn't be an alcoholic. It all started with a small step moving in the wrong direction. But the redeeming thing there is Lot had moved, right? He had taken that step. He had been taken captive by the other kings, and he was rescued by Abram at the time. So God was still able to work in his life then. And then even in the middle of the sin, God was still able to throw in that lifeline to get him out of there. He is without excuse on that part. But if he hadn't have taken that first step, he wouldn't have gotten close to sin. Next, we learn that we don't want to hesitate when God moves us. When we feel like God is nudging us, we just need to do it. Because you never know, that may be the one point that one person needs. That may be the one thing that you need. You know? So don't hesitate when you feel God moving on your heart. And the other cool thing about this is you need to be in a place where you can hear that voice that says, don't move or move. You need to be in that place where you feel the presence of the Lord to know what to do. And finally, realize your decisions impact others. Very rarely will a bad decision just impact only you. And you may think, oh, it's just me. It'll be okay. Lot took that first step, and finally he's in sin, and it affected everybody that was around him. And it affected himself as well. So don't think that just because I dally a little bit with it, or I get a little bit close to it, or I'm in it, that it's only going to affect me. We may only see it affecting us, but in our social life, we may see it affecting other people, and we just don't see it. So we have to realize that sin not only impacts us, but it impacts others. I think it would have been interesting, again, like I said earlier, that if Lot would have made that first decision with God's help, and I believe the calamity that Lot fell into would have been different. I don't think he would have fallen into this calamity. But because he didn't want to seek God, it just was a slippery slope from there on out. So don't be like Lot and miss the opportunities the Lord may be sending to change things you need to be changed in. Have an open heart. Have an open mind. And don't be like Lot. Amen? All right.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, let's take some prayer requests, and we'll pray for the food. This is not birth.